Good morning, good morning. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast coming to you once again from the Metropolitan Tabernacle, 501 Opelousas Avenue here in New Orleans, Louisiana. This is Pastor Albert Findarvis, the old Trailblazer. Let me give you my mailing address. It's Radio Missions or just the old Trailblazer. Post Office Box 6250. That's Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Let me give you this information. Now, by the means of computer, you can hear the old Trailblazer every morning, 8:45 to 9 o'clock Central Standard Time. And also, you can hear the 11 o'clock service live on WLNO every Sunday morning from 11 to 12 by just simply tuning in to www.wlno.com there on your internet. And it's a very complicated thing to me because I don't understand it, but I believe you can hear it. If you would, if you need more information, you write me. I'll send it to you. We're bringing you a series of studies on the blood, on blood redemption, and we're looking at blood on the altar. We're looking there where the Lord had built an altar on the east side of the garden. And now this day, and we're looking at in this fact today, the Bible says, in the process of time, in the process of time, if you want to get your Bible and read it there, in the process of time, which means at an appointed time or a certain day. Did you know you and I have an appointment with the Lord on a certain time? That's right. No doubt it was a Sabbath day they're speaking of here, the last day of the week. They refrained from their toils and labor, turned their thoughts and steps toward the place of worship where the presence of the Lord was. Now, my friend, I see a problem that we have in our nation. It's gotten so out of hand. Did you know our folks take the Lord's Day in vain? They take the Lord's Day, they play golf, they play ball, they shoot pool, they drink beer, they do whatever, and just have a high youping time, and then go to work on Monday morning tired and wore out and physically exhausted. Did you know you robbing your employer if you wear yourself out on Sunday and then go to work Monday morning all bleary-eyed? That's right. That's right. I tell our employees here at the church, don't stay out all night. Don't stay up all night and go to bed late, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning and try to come to work. No, stay home. I don't want to see your bloodshot eyes looking here. But look at the world, how the world celebrates everything in the world on Sunday. Used to, when I was a kid, you couldn't buy a pack of coffee or nothing on Sunday. But now everything, all the major stores open, car dealers, whatever. But listen, my friend, that's all against God's rule. But on a appointed time, those folks are going to meet the Lord. We see Cain. Here we see Adam and Eve's two sons, Cain and Abel. We see Cain, the older of the two, as he went into the fields, plucked up the finest of his crop, the most beautiful flowers, and his thank offering in his arms, walked proudly down the road towards a place of worship. Now, what kind of a picture is that, folks? That's the average man and woman today. They come to church proud with their Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on, and they've done something, they claim for the Lord. They bring a little thank you offering for the homeless or something, and they think they've done something. They're proud. We have folks who don't go to church but once a year, and that's on Easter Sunday, and they get a new frock and a new big wide-brimmed hat and new shoes and all those things and dress up. That's what Cain was doing here. He walked proudly down the road to where the altar was. When he reached the altar, he arranged that altar there with all of those beautiful vegetables and flowers. When he finished, it was beautiful to look upon. As he stood there, he admired that beautiful thank offering, just like you do. Oh, you belong to the big church. That's all I need to do. Dr. So-and-so is our pastor. Oh, Dr. So-and-so with all the DDs and all of those things behind his name. And he's a doctor this and doctor that. And I go to his church, and I'm a charter member. And my mama and papa was charter members there. But what about knowing the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Oh, listen. Far greater to be somewhere in some little humble cottage on the side of the road where services are held on that time of service than to be proud and to walk down those long aisles now so that all the eyes in the tabernacle can see, my friend. No, you know what God's child wants? He wants the Lord to look upon him in mercy, not in a proud thing. But listen, when old Cain had finished, it was beautiful. He stood there admiring all of that thing. But what happened? No fire came down. No fire. He got angry. And he stood there with his countenance fallen. How many times have I seen that? How many times have I seen sinners and when the Lord didn't receive their fruit of their labors? Oh, but in rebellion against God, throwing the blame back on God. Did you ever hear a sinner say, "I don't see why God hadn't saved me yet"? I do. Oh, listen, I come to him, they say, and he still hadn't saved me. I just don't see why God hadn't saved me. Well, listen, God doesn't have to save you. What if God never does save you? Oh, I want to tell you this morning, my friend, God never admits a sinner into his presence until all rebellion is gone. Now, I tell you, folks think rebellion is slamming out the door and cussing and raising his voice and shouting at the preacher and all that. That's not rebellion. That's not the kind of rebellion I'm talking about. I'm talking about rebellion against God. You just won't have God to rule over you. Why? Because you want your own way. You want your own will. That's what old Cain wanted. He went out there and brought some mustard greens and turnips and lettuce and celery and collards and all of those things. Beautiful, big, robust plants. Brought them there and laid them on the altar and decked them all out. Put some little greenery around them where it was a beautiful offering. But listen, he stood back and no fire. God never admits a sinner in his presence until that rebellion is gone. Now, why didn't God, Jehovah, accept Cain's offering? By nature, he was as good as Abel. By nature, he was a stately man. There was no difference between the two brothers. The difference was in their offering. And I tell my folks here, listen, don't look down on these homeless over here that we feed at the storehouse. Don't look down on them because they're raggedy and dirty and nasty and stink like a goat. Don't look down on them. You know better than they are. Oh, you may have on a fine Hart Schaffner and Mark suit, cost $400-$600. You may have on a dress by some of the biggest, greatest designers in the world, and all those, but they don't mean a thing in the world, my friend. God doesn't look up on that. He looks up on the heart. How's your heart this morning? Could I just stop here? Maybe use the rest of our time this morning asking you about your heart. How is your heart this morning? Is it right with God? We sing a song here in our choir. The choir sings a beautiful song. Is your heart right with God? Let me ask you this morning, my friend. Is your heart right with God? I don't care what you have. I don't care how wealthy you are, how sanctity you are, how sophisticated you are. Is your heart right with God? Have you been brought down as a poor old sinner, seeing yourself lost, and then crying unto the Lord for mercy, and He had mercy on you and delivered you? If you can, then thank the Lord. Praise the Lord for it. But what about you who have not been broken? What about you, my young boy, my young girl, you who are wanting your own way, telling your old dad how to go, how to head in, telling your mom how to head in, I'll have my way, I'll do it my way, I'll do this. No, you don't have a new heart. The Bible says, the Lord said, I'll give you a new heart. He doesn't sanctify that old heart. No, He gives you a new heart. But listen, have you ever been there to the altar cross? By faith, with blood in the basin. She ever brought blood there in the basin? Whose blood, you say? The blood of Christ. Have you, by faith, looked into that basin and saw that blood there that was shed for your sins, my sinner friend? If you haven't, you're not saved. Oh, listen, it's not my business to tell you whether you're saved or lost, but don't you know anybody can tell a dead dog from a live dog? That's right. Oh, it's my business, my friend, to warn you to flee from the wrath to come. Day by day, as I stand here, sit here behind this microphone, I'm to warn you. The Bible says, watchman, watchman, what of the night? And I have to come forth calling, all's well, all's well. No, I can't do that because you're lost. You're out there lost. You're ripping and running and having a big time, high-ooping time, and you're lost. Some of you have told me, well, I'm lost, Pastor, but you won't turn to the Lord. You hang on to everything in the world. You allow Satan to permeate your mind, to warp and twist your mind. You don't cry out against it. And you say, well, God is too good to send me to hell. No, He's not. No, the Bible says the Lord hates sin. He's angry with the wicked. The Lord is angry with the wicked every day. And He was angry with Cain there because he brought not of the blood. He didn't bring of the blood. And you can't come into the presence of God without the blood in the basin. I don't care who you are, my friend. Go back and read the Old Testament there in the first four or five books of the Bible where it was told how the offerings were laid out. Oh, the blood. They brought the bullock there to the tabernacle, and the high priest slew it and caught the blood and put it in a basin and went into the temple, went into the tabernacle and went behind it, the veil there. The veil was stretched across to hide the Holy of Holies in the mercy seat. And only the high priest could go there. And only once a year. Listen, my friend, God is not some little fantasy world like you imagine he is. Little tin soldier God. No, sir. No, sir. And that priest went behind that veil, and he began to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, on the cherubims, on the top of the mercy seat, and on the furniture there. And all that time, it was the blood that was making an atonement for my sins and your sins. Why? Where did the blood come from? It came from my substitute, who was the Lord Jesus Christ. He took my place, friend. Have you ever had somebody to stand in for you for some engagement, or stand in for you, pay a bill for you that you couldn't pay? And what a trivial thing that is. But listen, the Lord Jesus Christ stood for me. He stood there, and he told God the Father, said, let Pendarvis' sins go by, Father. I paid those sins. I took his place. I'm his substitute. It's me. Let that blow fall on me. Let that sin fall on me. I've drank in that cup. I've drunk that cup. I looked in that cup, and I saw that his sins was there. And then he wiped them out. Clean as new-driven snow, my friend. The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson. I just wanted to take this time this morning to bring you those thoughts, how that the Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. He shed his blood. He shed his blood through the pierced side, through the brow that was pierced by the thorn, through the nails that were driven in his hands and in his feet as he stretched forth there on the cross on Calvary's little hill out there outside the gate. He went outside the gate. Yeah, there's a great lesson there. Every sinner goes outside the gate. You can't hang with your friends, folks. You can't hang with your friends on the corner and be saved. Did you know that? No, there's a coming out. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I'll have mercy on you. Oh, listen, my friend. God's people are a separated people. Did you know that? God's people are a peculiar people. Yes, folks call me peculiar because I preach the gospel. Someone told me not long ago, said, well, ain't nobody listen to you. I said, no. Some folks won't listen to me because I call sin, sin. I call names. If folks live in sin, I call their name by the grace of God. I call it in compassion. I call it in love. I call it in mercy. Trying to get you to see that you're headed for a devil's hell. Oh, my friend, do you know hell is from beneath, is moved to meet thee at thy coming? Old Cain's there in hell today, burning in hell, my friend. He didn't burn up. No, sir, he didn't burn up. He's right there today, along with old Korah and old Jezebel and Ahab and old Saul. And many of them, my friend, and you'll join them there one day in appointed time. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. You want to face judgment alone in that darkness? No, sir, not me. I want to go there where the Lord is, where there's light. The Lord is the light of the world, and he gives grace, and he saves us by the blood. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. That's right. We sing that song here day by day, week after week. We have folks who love that song, Saved by the Blood. I like to sing it too. Then we sing, what can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis bringing the message to a close again this morning early. I wish you'd sit down right and help me with the broadcast. I need your financial help right now. I don't hardly ever ask you for a donation, but would you send me an offering for the Trailblazer broadcast? I appreciate it. Remember, my mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis saying goodbye, and God bless you.